Okay, so we're beginning to learn the sugya of Makom HaPatish, the malacha of Makom HaPatish, of finishing and perfecting a keli, and we're going to focus this on this particular sugya, which is going to bring us to the halacha of whether you're allowed to open cans on Shabbos, open soda bottles, rip open bags, so on and so forth. I'm sure before we start, everybody already has preconceived notions of what they do. But, like I always say, it's always good to know why you do what you do so that you can explain yourself if anybody needs, you know, at some point you're going to have to explain what you do. So it's good to understand what you're doing. Okay, so now, in the sugi over here, we have as follows. We have the Mishnah starts off with one case. Shoiver Adam es achavis lachal hemena groigris ubuvash lo yischavin lasis keli. So the Mishnah begins with the halacha that you're allowed to break open a barrel, allowed to demolish a barrel, I should say, in order to extract the figs that are inside it. You're allowed to break a barrel in order to get the figs that are inside it, as long as you aren't mechavin lasis keli. Right? So the way Rashi explains mechavin over here doesn't mean intent. Mechavin means the focus. As long as you don't try to make a nice hole, because that would be Makom HaPatish. You're creating a nice hole would be a malacha of Makom HaPatish. So you're allowed to demolish the barrel. You're allowed to demolish the barrel as long as you don't intend, as long as you don't try to make a nice hole. That's halacha number one in the Mishnah, which is going to be relevant to our sugya. There's a couple of other halachas in the Mishnah. We'll skip over that right now. There's also then in the Gemara has a second case, which is also case number two, which is very, very important for the halachas of Makom HaPatish in regard to opening cans, etc., is chayslois. The Gemara has this case of something referred to as chayslois. The Mishnah Rashi explains chayslois are baskets, which are woven baskets, very similar to our kashid loch that we were using on Sukkot to hold the lulav. It was woven in a similar way. And these baskets were used, Rashi says, also an important Rashi, the point of these baskets were they stored unripe fruit and it helped them ripen. And Rashi, the way Rashi understands the Gemara says you're allowed to cut, untie, and unravel. So Rashi learns that we're not referring to the basket itself. Rashi learns we're referring to a string that was used to tie the basket closed. That's what Rashi learns, which is an interesting shot. But in any case, what we have here is another case where you're allowed to demolish something on Shabbos. It's not referring to the whole basket, at least the way Rashi learns, but it refers to the string. Right? So case number one, you can demolish a barrel. Case number two in the Gemara is you have this chayslois. You're allowed to cut, demolish, unravel the string in order to open the chayslois. Why Rashi learns that way, and he does not learn that we're actually demolishing the whole basket itself, is a good question. We'll hopefully get to it in a future shir, and we'll see Mara Mekaymis, because other Rishayim, the Beis Yosef brings down, and this is the way it's said in Shulchan Aruch, says you can actually, unraveling and cutting is referring to the basket itself. Like you would take apart that kashtel, you know, you pull it apart at the edges. So that would be what the Gemara is talking about, which seems to make much more sense in the Gemara. It's much more in sync with what we're talking about. You demolish a barrel, and you can demolish this basket. Right? So we have Rashi, we have the Mishnah, where you can break a barrel, and then we have the case number two of chayslois, where you can either untie or cut the string, or you can destroy the actual basket itself. Those are the two cases in the Gemara that we've learned so far. There's a third case, which I don't know if anybody got there yet. This is a third case in Masechtas Erevin, and this is the third and most important case, where there's a case in Gemara in Erevin where you have this big cabinet, a migdal. It's a freestanding cabinet. And the Gemara over there is clear. You'll see it when you start learning Taisus, you look up the Gemara. The Gemara is there that you are not allowed to demolish that cabinet in order to get at the food that's inside it, which in that case is an Erev Tchumun or an Erev Chatzeres or whatever. So you're not allowed to demolish that cabinet. So that is a contradiction to our case of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says you could demolish the Chavis and to get the Gregerson. And the Gemara in Erevin says you cannot demolish the cabinet in order the migdal to get at the food inside it, which is the question. Taisus deals with, all the Rishonim deal with, what's the difference, when can you and when can't you. But for today's shir, let's focus on what is the heter to actually break this chavis, right? So just before we go any further and just understanding, actually let's just for a second think of it in our terms. just given the information we have over here, right, about breaking and about destroying, it would mean that the heter to open things on Shabbos, right, would l'chaira, it would be based on if you're destroying it, right? In other words, you would be allowed to open something on Shabbos if that action destroys the thing that you're doing, right? You're being shoiver sechavi, so you could be shoiver a can open. You could ruin it. But if what you're doing is actually making it better or more useful, maybe we'll think of a different hatter, but not here. We're not going to find it here, right?
And if you're not doing either,
then you're great. You're not doing anything.
So if you're not doing the calculus, but you're also not making it better, then what's the halacha?
Then you're not doing anything. So I don't know such a case.
You're opening the calculus, but you're not making it better.
How could that be? That's by definition made it better. You made it open.
Opening it up?
Yeah.
Making it better.
It's open. It was closed, and now it's open. Right? It was sealed, and now it's open. That by definition is better. As a Pesach. Uh-huh. Right?
By the definition, even if the Pesach is not a Pesach Yofeh.
Okay, so we could discuss it. Right? You know, maybe that we'll see that from these two cases. What we see also, from all we see is the heter of destroying something. Right? So again, like I said, we'll have to move along, see if there's any other heter.
When you said destroyed, you mean literally destroyed, or what happens with the kalko, but it's a little worse, but not completely useless.
Alright, okay, so it doesn't have to be the full-blown destruction, but the action that you took was a destructive action. So let's see Rashi. Rashi is the, why is it mutter over here? What's the heter? Dr. Rashi, Shoyver Adam Chavi is the first Rashi on the Mishnah. Rashi says, Shoyver Adam Chavi is Muleg Roigers B'sakana B'sayif. You're allowed to cut it open, break it open with a knife or with a sword. Lechol mimena groigris, in order to eat the groigrisin, the aim of makalkal shum iser b'shabbos. There's absolutely no iser whatsoever to do makalkal on Shabbos. So Rashi has no problem in this Mishnah. He says no problem. Of course, you're allowed to break a chavis. What were you thinking? There's an iser makalkal on Shabbos. You have a mistake. There's no iser makalkal on Shabbos. You're allowed to be makalkal on Shabbos.
The aim be makalkal on Shabbos. That's how you read it.
Do you have another way?
When it's Makalka, there's no Isser on Shabbos.
Okay. Well, same, fine.
No.
So you have another, I'm saying, you have another intent.
The way you just said it was that Havmin would be that Kilkul itself
has an Isser.
There's no
exactly.
Lacha. Well, I wasn't saying that. I was saying the in b'makalkal shum is when a person is being makalkal, then none of the other lamentes halachas are shum.
Okay, you're making it even worse, actually. But okay,
that's how I read Rashi.
Either way, all the Rishonim over here jump on Rashi, and they say that's not true. The Ran in the back, the Rashba, the Ritva, all the Rishonim, the Rash. Everybody asks on Rashi, that's pasha not true. Makalkal is asur on Shabbos, and there's many, many cases that we have already in the Sefer Shabbos that there is an isra of makalkal on Shabbos. It's not something which is mutar on Shabbos. Not do kalkal on Shabbos. So the Ran says. So the Ran says that what is the pshat? So the Ran says that the pshat is that the iser of mekalkal is the why is it mutter in this Mishnah? If mekalkal is also in Shabbos, mekalkal isn't a vera in Shabbos, so why is it mutter in the Mishnah? So the Ran says because it's a tzorich Shabbos. Right, Lashon Ran, had in the sheets over here. Oh, we'll get to that in a second. So the Ran asked, the Lo Nehira, he asked on Rashi, the Nehi, the Chala Makalkal and Peturim, it's true that all Makalkal and our Potter, Isser Miya Ika, they're still an Isser. Ela Hainu Taima, this is the reason why it's Mutter, the Kivan de Ba'alma Makalkal Potter Aval Asser, being that normally Makalkal is Potter Aval Asser, Hacha Mishim Tzoyruch Shabbos Shari, Lechat Chila. Here, being that there's a Tzoyruch on Shabbos, because you need the food, it's Mutter Lechat Chila. Right, that's the Ran's Pshat. Now, going back to Rashi, does Rashi mean that or not? So there's an argument to be made either way. So Pashat, you say Rashi doesn't sound like that, because Rashi seems to say, Ein b'makakal shum iser b'shabbos. That's a very broad blanket statement, and it sounds like this is never an iser makakal on Shabbos, not just because there's a tzarech Shabbos. The Ran says there really is an iser makakal on Shabbos. It's just we're matter it when there's a tzarech Shabbos. Rashi's saying it's not aser, right? It doesn't sound like that. On the other hand, as my Chavrusa pointed out, Rashi prefaces this statement that you broke the chavis, lechol mimena groigris. Why does Rashi need to say that? It's obvious that the reason why you're breaking this chavis, if that's full of groigris, is because you want to eat the groigris. Why does Rashi need to speak out? It's besides that it's redundant, it's also unnecessary. that you're doing it to lachol mimena gregoris. So, right, it's even worse. I'm saying, yeah, why does he even need to say it? Right. So it would seem it might be that would indicate that Rashi is maybe learning like the Ran. The Ritva over here says that there are those that say that Rashi means like the Ran, that the reason why he's saying it's name Kal Shomis Shabbos is because it's a Sair of Shabbos. He says it's a Doichik and that's not the Mashmois of Rashi. So Ritva says that that's not what Rashi means. Yeah.
Still the Ran's making a blanket statement about every Kelko.
Oh, well, that we'll see. The Ran actually goes on to say that it's not. But that's the question, why? But the Pasha he is. Kipshuta, the Ran is making a blanket statement that if it's Sair of Shabbos, Kelko is Mother. That's the Pasha. The reading of the Ran.
Talks about
opinion,
that's not about this.
I have to see. That's the Pasha, that's the way you would read the Ran, yes. That he's saying a klal, Tzerach Shabbos, Kol Kol Zmot.
So far, the only machalik between Rashi and the Ran is by the Rabbanon. Everyone agrees that Kol Kol makes it no longer a Yeraisa.
Yeah, I don't think there would be any argument about that. Actually, there might be an argument about that too, but yes, Kipshuta, you're right. Kipshuta, Kol Kol is for sure a Rabbanon. The Ran is saying that it's an Issa Drabbanon, but it's Mutl at Tzerach Shabbos, and Rashi seems to be saying it's not an Issa Drabbanon at all.
Right.
Because
they're very similar, Rashi, and the
Fi Rashi would seem to be Mutter Stam, even not Letzayr Chaychel. You could go around breaking stuff at Shabbos. You're very angry.
The fact that the Kilkul over here plays a role, Rashi and the Ram both agree.
Correct. Right. That's not a disagreement. Rashi said. Right.
And
the Makalkal. Right.
And the Ran is my then.
100%. Yes.
Right. And what malacha are we talking about over here?
We'll get to that. So the Chassam Sefer says over here that to explain Rashi, because right, it's not Mestaber Rashi Hel was arguing on the Ran, L'chayr Makalkal is an Isser on Shabbos. So he says like this. He says, Makalkal is an Isser on Shabbos when it is a malacha. You're doing a malacha. And it's not a deraisa because it's a Makalkal. Right. So, for example, you need moichek, erasing something on Shabbos is a malacha, but erasing on Shabbos is only a malacha if it's a tikkun. Like, for example, in the Sefer Torah, there's a word that's spelled wrong, so you erase it in order to be able to write the word correctly in the same spot. It's a moichek amanas l'sakin. If you don't do it amanas l'sakin, it's sakin. If you're just stam erasing, right? You're, let's say, ripping words, right? So you're not doing any tikkun. So it's a mekalkal. But it's a malacha, right? It's a malacha which is not being done latikon, it's being done for kilkul. So a malacha that's done for kilkul, that's awesome. Over here, Rashi is l'shitasai. There's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos on that kuf beis amud beis, beginning of Perek Habayna, whether there's binyan v'stira b'kelim. So let me explain. The Gemara says that we hold ein binyan v'stira b'kelim. Binyan v'stira, the malacha of baina and the malacha of seiser can only be done on something which is attached to the ground. That's what Gemara says, that's what we hold. Taisa says that no, there's a limitation to that. That's not totally true. Taisa says the Gemara is referring to if you just made, like, you made an addition to a keli, but if you built the keli from scratch, then everybody holds Yesh Binyan Vistir B'Kelim. You could do Binyan in a keli if you did a very chashava, full-formed construction of a keli, then everybody agrees is Binyan B'Kelim. When the Gemara says ain't Binyan B'Kelim, it's just referring to an addition to a keli. That's what Taisa says over there. So Taisa's Shita is that even though the Gemara says ain't Binyan Vistir B'Kelim, that's not totally true. It just means when we're talking about small additions, but technically there's a Malacha of Binyan and Saiser and Kelim too, in the case being where you formed the whole Kelim. Rashi Shita is, there's no such thing as Binyan Vistira B'Kelim. Binyan Vistira is only in Binyanim, only in things that are attached to the ground, an oil, something to that form of Binyan, but anything which is a Kelim, Davar HaMetatl, something which is moved around, has no Malacha B'Ayin and Saiser. That being the case, Dr. Chazam Seifer, that's why Rashi is saying that ain b'makalkal shum iser b'shabbos, because we're talking about a keli, so there's no malacha, there's no baina, and there's no seiser. So as long as you're being makalkal, which means you're not doing makab patish, you're not doing a malacha, so as long as you're being makalkal, there's no iser at all. That's what Chazam Seifer explains this sheet. Rashi is not alone, other chayim don't like that too. Because that is correct. Well, it's in the Ran. It gets even worse in the Ran. I'll explain. I'll get to what you're saying. Hopefully today. So Akapanim, this is the. Let me just finish point to make. So Akapanim, in Rashi, the Mahalach that the learning is they're making it a Lishitase over here. that the Rashi is going l'shitasa on dafka bezim abeis that ain't binyan v'stir v'keilim, and since there's no binyan v'stir v'keilim, so mamela there's no problem of mekalkel, because mekalkel is only a problem when the mekalkel is what's reducing it from a deraisa to a drabanan. When the mekalkel is making it that instead of being a malacha, it's not a malacha. If that's what mekalkel is doing, then it's asr midrabanan. But over here, even if you wouldn't be a mekalkel, it wouldn't be a malacha deraisa. Why? Because there's no binyan v'stir v'keilim. That's the way he's understanding Rashi. Now, what is the malacha our Mishnah is discussing? There is some sort of thing you're not allowed to do in our Mishnah, right? What are these things you're not allowed to do? That's makabe patish. What does makabe patish mean? Makabe patish means, by definition, is you're finishing something, you're fixing something, you're making it complete. There's no such thing as a makalkal in makabe patish. If you're a makalkal, you're by definition not a makabe patish. That's why we don't say, oh, you're a makalkal in the malacha of makabe patish. In other words, saiser, let's say by a binyan, right? What's saiser? Where is saiser chayiv by a binyan? You have a house, you demolish it in order to be able to build in the same place a new house. So that's saiser, you're doing saiser, and it's amanas libnois, so it's a tikkun. If you just demolish a house not for the purpose, you're doing the same thing, the same demolition, but you're not doing it for the purpose of a tikkun, so it's patish. So the kilkul is what made it not a malacha. Then it's also midrabanan. But over here, when you do a kilkul, when you demolish the chavis and you didn't make a nice neat hole, right? It's not that you made a neat hole in a way that's a kilkul. You just didn't do a makabe patish. You didn't even begin to do a makabe patish. You in no way did anything which resembles makabe patish. The kilkul over here didn't change it from a malacha which is chayiv to a malacha which is pater. You just did a totally different act. It's not an act which can be it's not even a part of the Isser of Makabe Patish at all. It's not a Soyser which is being done not for Tikkun. It's not Makabe Patish at all. That's why Rashi holds that this Kokol is not related to any Malacha, and that's why it's Mut. That's the understanding of Rashi. That's Rashi Shita in the Sugya. Eim Makakal Shum is a Shabbos, because Eim Binyan V'Stir B'Kalim, so there's no Stira problem over here, and Makabe Patish, you have nothing to do. You're not beginning to do Makabe Patish, because you're not doing in any shape or form any type of completion of this Kali, any form of perfection in this Kali. That's Shita's Rashi. I'm sorry? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just, makabe patish would be deraisa. Anytime you have makabe patish, it's always a deraisa.
So what's right.
All I'm saying is that I'm just explaining that it's, what, maybe you'll ask me a question. The Mishnah says there are things you're not allowed to do, right? And if Rashi holds, ain binyan v'stir b'kelim, why aren't you allowed to do these things? Why aren't you allowed to make a hole? So the answer is no, because that's makabe patish, right? So then you're going to ask me another question. So then why is Rashi saying ein b'makalkel shum eser Shabbos? You're being makalkel in makabe patish. Same way you're a makalkel in soyser. That explains there's no such thing. You can't be a makalkel in makabe patish. If you're a makalkel, then it has nothing to do with makabe patish.
It's not.
I'm sorry? So kavana doesn't mean kavana, as I was pointing out before. Rashi says kavana means don't try to do something else. Don't make a nice neat hole. It's not a kavana. You're probably doing something different.
It's not like almanas anything.
Correct. Right. This is a focus, not a thought. Okay. Now, I'm sorry. Because that wouldn't be a definition of makabe patish. Makabe patish should mean something that makes the keli complete. A Pesach would technically make a keli complete, but there are certain limitations to when something is called Pesach, and at some point it departs from Pesach and becomes just demolishing the keli. So if it's not a Pesach, then as long as you don't make a nice neat Pesach, the fact that it's an opening hasn't completed the keli, you've ruined it.
Even if the kli is still intact and still has the same kli, the opening is just not so nice.
Right.
Why would that not be makabe patish?
At some point, when the opening becomes more of a destruction to the kli, and it's not the proper way to finish this keli, then it's not makabe patish. Makabe patish has to be that the opening in and of itself is a nice opening, so then you've done something to finalize the production of this keli.
Uh-huh. So shaver is lavdafka in the end.
Correct. You see that in Rashi, really. Because you don't have to demolish the whole chavis, and you don't have to demolish the whole top. You have to make a hole that's a messy hole.
Because then it's not
makabe patish. Because then it's not makabe patish. And then you're not upright. Exactly. Okay, so this is Shita's Rashi. Fine? So this is Shita's Rashi. Now, moving over to the Ran. So the Ran is a problem over here. Because the Ran goes on to say something else. The Ran then says, he's really coming to answer Tosis's question. And we didn't see Tosis yet, but being that he doesn't ask Tosis's question, so we'll just take the liberty of reading in the Ran further. So he said, where is it? So we are. Zakhtaran, mihu. Kisharya, where is it mutter to break a chavis? Dafka bekli katan. Only in a small keli. The loyshayach be binyan vestira, in a small keli, you can't have binyan vestira. Av bekli gadol. A large keli, and some rishonim explained that means like something refrigerator sized, something that's machzik arba imsa, a large, rather a really large keli. Aval b'kli gadol lai, there it's aser, and he brings a proof from the Gemara in Erevin, which we didn't see yet. Right? So this is his halacha. So he says that no, this that I said, you know, this that says in the Mishnah, you're allowed to break a chavis. It's a small chavis, a big chavis. Which is the size of Arba Imsa, tremendous chavis, that's aser. Why? Because the shayach boy binyan vestir, right? Even though in binyan vestir bekelim, once something becomes that big, it's an aisle, we look at it like it's connected to the ground, so it's aser. Now, the question here that everybody asks, Prima Gadim asks, Rosh Yosef, in the Sefer Rosh Yosef also, Avni Nezer, everybody from early to contemporary, they ask that the beginning and the end of the round, it just doesn't read. The beginning of the round says, as long as you're a mekalkel, as long as you're destroying something, et lutzerich Shabbos is mutter. And then he says, it makes a difference if it's a small keli or a big keli. How could it make a difference? Even a big keli, you're just a mekalkel, you're not being masakin it, you're ruining the keli, regardless of how big it is, regardless if it has seiser, right? Even if there's an Isser Seiser over here, it doesn't make a difference. Right? Second. Even if there's an Isser Seiser, it doesn't make a difference. You're still a Mekalkel. Right? The Ran is not learning like Rashi that there's no Isser Bechlal Mekalkel. He's saying there is an Isser Mekalkel. He's not learning like Rashi. He's saying there is an Isser Mekalkel. And yet, it's still Mutter. Why? Because it's Tzarek Shabbos. And then he goes and says, well, it makes a difference if it's a big Keli or a small Keli. Why should it make a difference? Either way, big keli, small keli. Well, what's the difference? What Isser Mekalkel you're doing? It's just Mekalkel. It's the same Isser Mekalkel. Mekalkel is across the board, all the same. It's an Isser Drabanan, and it's Mutal Tzarek Shabbos. So why should it make a difference if it's a big keli or if it's a small keli?
What's the underlying Isser Mekalkel of according to the Rambam?
By where?
By the small keli.
Either he holds Yesh Binyan Vestir B'Kelim, which doesn't sound, and I don't know, it doesn't sound like that's so stark. Or it could be he holds that it doesn't make a difference. Mekalkel is always Asr.
Well, the also,
you need a melacha Shabbos to start with.
Apparently not. It's a good question you're asking. I'm not disagreeing with you, but apparently he doesn't know like that. Kupchute would not know like that. Maybe it's like all nechlal. Once they ask, once there's kilkul, which are related to melacha, so they ask it all kilkul.
So you have a situation where you'll have the rabbanim say kilkul lessens isder aistinis rabbanim, and there are times when there are things that are mutter.
Make across the board.
That's a very
the lashon is called mekalkel b'tuter.
No, you could have things like that. That's not that wouldn't bother me.
The lashon is called mekalkel b'tuter.
That itself. What?
Called mekalkel b'tuter.
Correct.
Kilkul is a b'tuter. We don't find everything.
I agree. That's a good R.
If you were bringing like a whole, you know, refrigerator,
right?
You know, from the stomach, it's not going to be because you need the whole refrigerator. So then the act of soser, you're not really doing the act of soser completely for Tzarek Shabbos. It's,
okay.
It's like 1% for Tzarek Shabbos, 99% soser, as opposed to if I'm just breaking a bottle, that's...
Okay. I don't know. That's not the way the round makes a difference. The Ran makes a difference in the fact that a big thing is Shaykh Boy Binyan Vestira, right? You're saying the difference is a different type of difference, right? Let me just get to the answer. So, the Prima Gadim says, what we would say is a Daichik Tarts. Prima Gadim says, the beginning of the Ran is going in Shitas Rashi, the end of the Ran is going in a different Shita. Not going with Shitas Rashi. At the end of the Ran, he is not working with what he said in the beginning. The beginning and the end of the Ran are the disconnect. That's very hard to read in the Ran. Everybody else is not happy with it. Prima Gadim himself is not happy. What?
Hard with the word
Miyu. Right, Miyu. Prima Gadim himself is not happy with it, but that's how bad the question is. Right? Okay, we're not going to see this time. The next week, we'll give it the Maram Makayim. Mr. Ramesh has a very, very good Shmak Ataritz. How to learn this Ran. But meanwhile, I want to point out one other thing, and this is a very important point in this sugi. We're saying that breaking the barrel is a kulkul, right? Now, one can make an argument that L'chaira, breaking the barrel, is not a kulkul. Why? Because you're accomplishing something very very useful. You're getting Gregerson. Right? That's a very big tikkun. You're breaking the barrel, it's true. It's destroying the barrel, but you're getting what you want. You see, obviously, you're breaking the barrel because it's worth it to break the barrel, right? You want the figs. So why isn't that called a tikkun? True, it's a kulkul in the barrel, but it's a tikkun in a different angle. Let me give you an example. The halacha is, it's a machlekes in the Gemara, machlekes tanoim, but there's a tana that holds that if you take a nice baguette. Tear it in half because you're very, very angry. And you tear it in half, and that's, you let off your steam that way. Akareya kelim b'chamosai, chayiv. You're chayiv on Shabbos. Ah, you're a makalkol. Mar says, no, you're a masakin. Why are you a masakin? You calmed yourself down. That's also a tikkun. Tikkun doesn't have to be in the baguette. The tikkun could be in somewhere else. The tikkun doesn't have to be directly in the item that you're dealing with. So, right. So, in other words, the point being, you know, you're touching on something. But in other words, the point is that you don't have to end up with something which is fixed for it to be called a tikkun. You just have to fix something. Something has to get fixed, not necessarily the item you're dealing with. So if you're tearing this and causing yourself, I feel much more geschmack now, that's a tikkun, you're chayiv. So why don't we say the same thing over here? I'm breaking this barrel and I'm getting the groigers in that are inside it. That should also be called a tikkun. That's a question. To augment this question, there is a pre-chadash. And we don't have time to go into it. This will be in the Maram Kaimis. There's a pre-chadash which is brought down in the Bir Halacha. Pre-chadash says that, to make a long story short, if you open a letter on Shabbos, you're chayav achatas, right? So you tore up the envelope in order to get at the letter, you're chayav achatas. You ruined the envelope. He says, no, you're a misakin because you're getting the letter. Right, so pre-chadash, the Bir Halacha brings down, says that that's called a tikkun. If you ruin one thing in order to obtain what's inside it, that's called a tikkun. That's not called a kilkul. Ain't a chanami, it's a kilkul in the item you're destroying, but it's a tikkun you're getting the thing that's inside it. The actual case of the pre-chadash is interesting. The case was, the way things used to be done in Europe, was that the chalent, no one had an oven in their house, so they brought the chalent to the baker. My mother used to do that in the Heim. Father also in Europe. That was the only person who had an oven running. And the way it worked is you put your chalent in a bag so you could identify it, and he left it in his oven. Now a lot of times the baker weren't yidden; they were goyim, and there's a problem that is bashish and salam and ayin. Right, you can't leave meat by a goyim, so they would close the oven over Shabbos. They would seal it with a paper seal, the tuchas amis. And they asked the Prichadash, is that called Tuchai Samas? And they're asking him a Yerdeh question. Is that sufficient, the fact that they put a paper and they seal it, is that good enough? And he said, forget about Chesamas. You're over, and it's a Daraisi. Now let's tear the paper. Because by tearing the paper, it's a tikkun to get at your chalent. So that was what he said. That's what Prichadash said. You know how to tear off the paper in order to get your chalent. It's a Malacha Daraisi, it's a tikkun. So that's a question from this Mishnah. We're going to have to deal with that also about the next week.
Korea.
Korea? Yeah.